Back together again, you and I chatting it up, brand new week, Monday style, September the 15th, 2025 on Connecticut Today. I opened the show talking about many social media posts on the assassination of conservative pundit Charlie Kirk that are resulting in folks losing their jobs across the U.S. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum and Quinnipiac University law professor Gary Phelan also talked about workplace rights in the wake of some questionable social media posts after last week's shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
You know, if only one thing, and hopefully more than one thing, comes out of this. But I was thinking today and reading some stuff online as I was thinking this. If only one quote-unquote positive were to come out of this tragedy involving in the shooting of Charlie Kirk, I was thinking to myself, it should be, and a lot of people love to use this phrase, these words, it should be a teachable moment. It should be a teachable moment for a lot of things, actually. But it should be a teachable moment for a part of social media that I don't think people understand. And over the weekend, I hope you had a good weekend. I went to a family event, did a little work, nice weekend, good weather and everything. Took a nice ferry ride yesterday back from Long Island on the Bridgeport Port Jeff Ferry, the new ferry, very nice. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of strolling around the deck and in my car, and I'm strolling through and scrolling through, I should say, a lot of posts that have been shared, and I admittedly have shared them too, of people that have lost their jobs, anywhere from baristas to people at Microsoft to teachers, and there was some pretty bizarre stuff out there. Teachers, college professors, college instructors, because they exercised their freedom of speech, which is a beautiful thing. We all have freedom of speech. We all have freedom to say whatever we want whenever we want it, but then we also have the freedom to get the blowback from that. We have the freedom to witness the freedom of people who say, hey, we don't like that. Now, here's where the sticky part comes in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm feeling kind of sad for some of these people, granted, who had some pretty nice gigs. There was one guy working for Microsoft. We have teachers there. We have hospital folks there. One teacher, some psycho in Canada, allegedly showed the Charlie Kirk assassination video. So you have people that you would think know better, right? You would say, hey, these aren't people. These don't assume to be people that fell off a turnip truck last week. And I'm seeing this, and then I'm seeing reactions from these people. Have you seen this? And I really do honestly feel bad for them. They're sitting there. They're crying. I can't believe they got me fired, or you got me fired, or whatever. What are you people doing? Now, again, at base level, it's probably not good to get somebody fired. But let me ask you something. Let's say your car needs work, and you choose, or you went to go to a garage or a shop that you've been going to for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden, over the weekend, you're kind of just scrolling through social media, whatever you use, X or WeChat or Facebook or all that, or Instagram, and you see a face you recognize there, right? Who's that? Hey, I know that. Who is that? Oh, that's Joe at my garage there. Yeah, he always takes care of my car really well. Boy, he's not great guy. I even tip him a little bit. Beautiful. The car's nice and clean when he's done with it. Oh, wait a minute. What's he saying here? And let's assume that your mechanic Joe, who works for an outlet, says, hey, by the way, I don't know about you, Joe writes on there, hey, Charlie Kirk deserved what he got. Now, you're going to look at that, and you still want Joe to work on your car? Now, maybe you do. Most people wouldn't. And I think the teachable thing we're going to find out here, or have to find out, two things. Number one, it's a teachable moment. Number two, though, it's frightening. What are these people thinking of? And yeah, it is kind of bad they lose their jobs, I get it, but I'm sorry. Whose fault is that? What possesses someone to see? I don't care how much they hate somebody. I don't care. That's not an excuse. Well, you know, Charlie Kirk once said, I don't care. Don't call me with that today, I'm begging you. Well, you know, he once said, yeah, whatever. And I can get, in fact, I'm going to have a montage coming up later in the show featuring our old Chris Murphy. I'm going to have a montage of a bunch of people saying, well, now we have to tone it down. Oh, really? We have to tone it down. I have a 2.5-minute montage coming up later. A lot of folks and titles and names and voices you'll recognize. And all of a sudden you'll say, but wait a minute. You're telling me to tone it down, but I digress. That's coming up a little bit later on the Happy program here. But what, explain to me, please. I don't understand this. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I don't understand how some people can say, well, it's my free speech to say that I'm okay with getting his neck blown apart, and then they start sobbing when somebody says, well, wait a minute. You work for Joe's Garage. I'm not going to go to Joe's Garage anymore, number one. And number two, I'm going to tell people about that. Now, morally, is that the right thing to do? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But why are all these people so surprised, some of them? And they do. That's the, you know, that's the scarier thing, too. That you have nurses, college professors, they're all over there. People who work in daycares, teachers at an elementary and art school level, praising an assassination. Now, look, it's one thing if you praise it amongst your friends and say, geez, I had no use to the guy, for the guy, yeah, whatever, wife and kids, I don't care. I don't doubt there are hundreds of thousands of people like that, but you have to be, do you know the level of stupidity that you have to be fully locked in and engaging in to put that on social media? And if you go ahead and do that, is it not my right to then say, now, I wouldn't do this per se to get somebody in trouble initially, but I'm sure as hell going to laugh at it online when you have people sobbing. And There's a guy, there's a video of a guy sobbing, apparently, that he lost a really good job with Microsoft. Okay? Why did you post what you posted? You work for Micro-freaking-soft. You don't work for Harry's Computer Repair on the corner, in by nine, out by five. You don't do that. So we start with this, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, because I sure as hell can't figure it out. What possesses a teacher or a college professor or somebody who works for Microsoft or somebody who works for, a youth center, or there's a school resource officer somewhere. That woman's out of the gig there. What possesses someone, not just amongst their friends and neighbors, what possesses someone to go online and say, hey, this was a good thing, and then they cry about it? Come on, what are we, all nuts? So can somebody please, I'm begging you, can you please explain to me how people are surprised when they go on social media? They're not talking amongst their friends. This isn't a Thursday night card game here. Or this isn't even among their friends at church or a temple or a mosque or whatever. They're going on social media. And they're in some way, shape, or form, from being totally and overtly crass to trying to be tongue-in-cheek to indicate that on some level they're okay with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and then somebody sees it and tells their boss, hey, this is one of your guys or gals. I recognize who this is. If you don't get rid of them, I ain't going to spend my money with you. And then the people that do this start a sob story. And again, I feel bad for these people. I honestly do. But it leads to the question here. Do we have a cadre of people? And I'm not saying cadre to be racial or gender specific, because it's certainly, it's old, it's young, it's black, it's white, it's professional, it's white collar, it's blue collar, saying stuff on social media. And then all crazy when they find out they're fired. There's a video of a guy, and I honestly felt bad for him. He sets up his camera and he's talking, and he gets so flustered, he starts running around his apartment like banging stuff. It's like, well, dude, you should have thought. No, it's not complete freedom of speech. And we're going to have a couple of guests on to talk about that. But I don't get it. Can somebody please explain this to me? And our question of the day. So I pick this to start off the day and start off the week. And think about this. Let me know what you think. Talk or text 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Would an employee's social media post affect your decision on whether or not to patronize a local or national business? And I have friends of mine this morning say, well, you shouldn't do that. It's doxing. It's hurting people. And on one level, I get that. I understand that. I really do. But to me, I think the bigger problem is, what makes people think this is okay? Let's say there was some sort of a modern day, and he'll never be matched, but let's say there was some sort of a new generation or second generation Martin Luther King Jr., or whatever, or maybe one of his relatives down the road takes up his fight and whatever, goes out there and protests against Trump or is protesting against, you know, the Republicans or whatever, and tragically some nutcase kills him or her. All right, you may say, well, that's horrible. Well, of course it's horrible. It's unconscionable among a normal society. And then supposing some mid-level executive or even some maintenance guy, I don't know, maintenance guy and gardener all the way to a CEO, they post something akin to, but not in the actual names here, akin to saying, well, you know what, no skin off my back, I'm not going to shed a tear, never liked him. And then that person's going to lose their job? Really? And that person's going to sit there and run around and scream and yell and wonder why they lost their job? See, here's the thing. I don't think, even with adults, it's not like I always warn young folks about this, especially in this business. But when I always tell them, think before you click, think before you tap your finger on that send button. The entire world is not hanging on what you think. Now, you may say, well, that's rich for you to say, Paul. You tell us what you think every day. Yes, because that's what I get paid to do. That's what Connoisseur hired me to do. That's not what a waiter or a waitress or a doctor or a college teacher or a nun or a priest or whatever. That's not what they're hired to do. And yet they react when their employer says, hey, I can't have you doing this because you're representing me. Really? I'll tell you, like I said, one of the teachable moments we should have here is warning young folks, college students, even some middle-aged folks who don't seem to get it. They don't seem to get it. You can't just say stuff in the modern age, even though it's your freedom of speech, which technically doesn't extend to the workplace. You can't just say stuff and put it out on social media and not think nobody's going to react to it. Well, it shouldn't be that way. Yes, and it also shouldn't be that my Jets suck again. But you know what? There are certain things in life that are constant. All right, you, like me, may have seen on social media this weekend the gamut of reactions here to the Charlie Kirk assassination. 98-99% of them were fine. But then you got some of these really distressing reactions and some videos, and I really did feel bad for some of these people who put some pretty caustic things on the web. They got what's called doxxed. In other words, they got identified because, again, not only do they do this, they put who they are on there. Then it gets back to a business, maybe a supervisor or, you know, oftentimes a university, a hospital, a school system. There was a school resource officer that did this. And then people, because it shows up in their feed, they call that hospital, that, a therapy place, that police department, say, hey, what are we doing here? And sadly, some of those people get fired. Now, those people come back and say, what about my freedom of speech? Interesting question, right? Joining us right now, one of our legal go-to people, the outstanding Thane Rosenbaum, CBS News. Go to his website, ThaneRosenbaum.com. He's an accomplished author, and you can do all that. Thane, it's Paul here. Good afternoon. How are you?
Always hearing, great hearing your voice, my friend.
Thank you, Thane. All right, let's do this in two parts. Number one, before we get into the employment part of this, Thane, give me law school 101 here. What is freedom of speech as it's defined and you people learn about?
So the First Amendment, frankly, all the amendments, pretty much start with the first very similar sentence, variations of the government shall not. Right. So what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it tells you that the Bill of Rights are not affirmative rights. It's not what you have.
Yeah.
It's what the government can't do to you, which is very different.
Okay.
So when you say you have freedom of speech, it's like I have a right to freedom of speech. That's not exactly what it says.
Yeah.
It says the government can't stop you from speaking. It doesn't speak to what you're a right in all contexts.
Okay.
It's really about the government being restricted from stopping your speech. So what does that tell you from the outset? It's often called a negative right, not an affirmative right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I can assert. It's something that can't be taken away from me. But your employer, if he or she is not the government, can do anything they want to you. You can have an employment contract, but can cause them reputational damages.
Yeah.
And they can decide, you know what, you're a liability. We don't need you. You're not even that good an employee. And now we never liked you to begin with. And now you've given us cause.
Yeah.
You've given us cause. Like, who do you think you are to send? How narcissistic are you that you need to make a statement about something as if anyone cares what you think?
Mm.
Big mistake. You thought your opinion was important and it was protected. It's not protected. You know what's a really good example of that that's oftentimes misunderstood? The Colin Kaepernick,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick works for the San Francisco 49ers. And if they want their players standing at attention with their helmets in their hands and singing the national anthem, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You do not have a First Amendment right and to tell the employer how you want to respond to the national anthem. Now, if the state of California had said at all games, whether they be professional or amateur, when this national anthem is played, everyone must stand with attention and players have to have their hats or helmets off. That's a violation of the First Amendment. The government can't restrict you, but your employer can. So there you have
interesting.
The difference.
Interesting. And Thane, finally, I said before early in the show today, and we had a couple of employers call in here and agreeing with me, I think, Thane, one of the teachable moments I think that comes out of this tragedy, hopefully, is maybe employers sit down with, you know, a lot of young people say, okay, make sure you understand this, right? We know I see you're on social media. Would it, Thane, not be a good idea? You don't want to coerce anybody, but say, hey, please understand this here before you sign this, right? Understand my social media policy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I have to believe, Paul, I don't know, Because, you know, I've been in, unfortunately, I'm an academic most of my life.
Yeah.
So I don't really know about HR departments.
Okay.
I'd like to think that HR departments have figured this all out already.
Yeah.
And that when they hired you, they said, if you have a social media account, be mindful that you might run afoul of our policy of conduct. Right. So this happened, remember, with the Hamas pro-Palestinian protest when Elise Stefanik from New York said to the president, does globalize the intifada or calling for the genocide of Jews not violate? She used the words code of student conduct.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say the First Amendment.
Yeah.
She said, forget this First Amendment.
Yeah.
Just what's the rules for being a student in this university? You don't call for the death of other students.
Yeah.
So she kept asking that question, and the presidents all end up getting fired because they stupidly thought that their job was to be more measured in saying, well, we protect free speech, instead of saying, no, we don't let other students call for the death of other students. and that really would violate our policy. But this just shows you can be a president of a university and be an absolute imbecile. That was the proof of that. But anyway, employers are in good standing to say you have caused us injury. But on the other hand, I don't think there's anything wrong with an employer saying we don't recognize your First Amendment rights while you're on the clock.
Sure.
But we're not going to fire you. So take that down and be careful what you're doing. You made an impulsive move and we're warning you that this is not something that is you might felt compelled to do so, but it's not without consequence.
Thane, great stuff as always. Check out the website, folks, ThaneRosenbaum.com. Thane Rosenbaum, thanks. CBS News. Appreciate
Thank
it, my friend.
Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Thane Rosenbaum, there you go. All right, so like me, maybe you saw just a flurry of stuff on the weekend of people getting quote-unquote doxxed or identified as people who didn't have the kindest thing, shall we say, about the assassination, the shooting death of Charlie Kirk, the conservative influencer, podcaster, debater at colleges. And a lot of these people saying, hey, why am I losing my job here? Why are my people or my customers attacking me or whatever? And it's interesting here as to what people consider to be freedom of speech or not. Joining us right now is a gentleman you hear oftentimes on the award-winning Melissa in the Morning program right here on WICC. First time with me, adjunct law professor Gary Phelan, practicing attorney, Quinnipiac Law School as well. Hey, Gary, it's Paul. How are you, sir?
Good, Paul. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, and thanks for stopping by. Gary, the classic version of I have freedom of speech, and how is that different in the workplace? So you see a lot of people distraught, losing their jobs, being singled out, saying, hey, don't I have freedom of speech? Explain the freedom of speech part first.
Freedom of speech as it relates to workplace-related communications. First, there's a difference between the public sector and the private sector. There is some, First Amendment protection for someone who works in a private sector.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, any sort of political speech in the private sector is not protected. It's not protected under the First Amendment. It might be protected under state law, and Connecticut is one of the states that has a free speech statute that does apply to private sector workplaces.
So our inherent rights then, Gary, as Americans, that's the initial thing I hear where how that relates to the government, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
An example, I'll give you an example of where there was a case against the Hartford Board of Ed.
Okay.
It was a First Amendment case by a phys ed teacher who was, brought in to do what he thought was considered to be DEI training.
Mm-hmm.
He felt that, he said in the training that he felt he was being man-bashed and white-shamed.
Okay.
He filed a claim. People, some other people complained about his conduct or his actions. The court refused to dismiss his First Amendment retaliation claim, saying he was exercising his right to free speech and issues related to race-based discrimination in the workplace as a matter of public concern.
All right. So, Gary, once again, the guest is Gary Phelan, practicing attorney, professor at the Quinnipiac Law School. So, Gary, I own a restaurant. I used this before a couple hours ago. And, you know, I do great business, but, you know, one of my servers or one of my cooks or my bartenders, he gets on social media and says, you know, for lack of a better term, hey, so-and-so got shot and he deserved it. No tears here. So now what rights does an employer, let's say generally, and I know you said Connecticut, Gary, is a little different with a state statute, but if there's no state statute, Gary, and I see people saying, well, you know, why should somebody lose their job for this? If you're or anybody's arguing for the employer wanting to terminate this person or discipline, where does that right come from?
It comes from a general belief, which unfortunately for them has no basis in the legal process. They are certainly or almost certainly an at-will employee that can be terminated for any reason, mm-hmm. and that would be a reason. So they wouldn't have a free speech claim. Certainly a lot of people think that there's, you know, free speech, you know, in any context, yeah. and there's not. It's limited by the law.
And Gary, being an employee of that employer, right, most of them now, I know at least here at the station and some other side stuff I do, I would assume, Gary, that it's kind of de rigueur for businesses, I'm sure all of them don't have them, but to have social media policies, right? I mean, I've signed a couple of those, and they basically, what, say, hey, have fun, but you better watch what you post, because, what, you're in some way connected to me.
Well, you're right. And a lot of employers have policies that say don't be speaking in your role as an employee of this company, mm-hmm. And have restrictions. On the other hand, employers sometimes get in trouble saying in your private communications, here's what you can't do.
Yeah.
An example would, you know, if an employer had a policy right now that said, you know, you can't speak on anything relating to Charlie Kirk, I think they might be vulnerable under the Connecticut statute, not under the federal law.
Mm. Yeah, because technically, if they want to say, hey, this is horrible that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, we need to get along and come together, right? That's hardly something, Gary, I would think. I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong. On the surface, that's actionable there, kind of a vanilla statement.
That's correct. And where I think, you know, because certainly this issue is a big issue amongst employment lawyers right now.
Really?
Because we are seeing what's going to be, I think, a surge of people being terminated. I think there's a big difference between somebody who is disagreeing with Charlie Kirk's policy. I mean, he was a passionate advocate for his political beliefs. He mm-hmm. challenged people. As the word you used, he debated. And so I think it would be hard-pressed to say, well, when people respond to his beliefs, even though it was after the, you know, horrible assassination, mm-hmm. That therefore they should get fired. I think it's a big difference where they're celebrating, you know, essentially political violence.
Yeah. And finally, Gary, I have said this with an earlier guest today. I'm guessing, and Gary, you're the attorney. I'm not, but I'm guessing it might be a good idea. One thing that may come out of this, some saving grace, is maybe parents, grandparents, employers, they, you know, you discuss with young people, right? Say, hey, remember that? Did you sign a social media policy? Yeah, I think I did. I signed a lot of stuff. Well, maybe it's a good idea, Gary, to go over this stuff with young folks and employees and say, hey, just so you know, everything's good here, but let's remember this in a case of what we're going right now. Teachable moment, maybe, Gary, you think?
Absolutely. And if somebody called me saying, you know what, I'm about to post this, what do you think I should do? And I'd say, well, you got to balance. Is it worth the risk of being terminated? You know, and again, we are a state that, you know, where political speech is important, but I think there's a time and a place for everything. And so I'd be, you know, I think you have to decide where my priorities are.
Thanks so much, Quinnipiac University Law Professor Gary Phelan, for joining us. Gary, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. We'll chat down the road, sir. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it. There you go.